My guest at this time is Arizona Republican Congressman Paul Gosar. He represents the Grand Canyon State's 4th Congressional District. He is a member of the House Oversight, as well as the House Natural Resources Committees, and serves on subcommittees that deal directly with environmental issues. In fact, he recently led an effort to impeach outgoing EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy. We've asked him today to react to the nomination of Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt to be the next administrator, and what he hopes the policy agenda will be for the Trump-Pence administration. And Congressman, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Greg.
Well, Scott Pruitt's nomination is certainly resulting in a lot of unrest on the left. You've got the Sierra Club saying it's like appointing an arsonist to manage the Forest Service or something like that. People very upset, saying that the environment will be far worse for our kids. So what's your reaction to Scott Pruitt and what you know about his record?
Well, I think it's interesting that the far left starts throwing names around when they should be looking in the mirror and seeing that damage they've caused. You know, the rules and regulations that have come out of this EPA have been egregious, onerous, and frankly not embedded in statute. And Greg has gone forward with numerous suits against the EPA that have prevailed at the federal level and even at the Supreme Court. So I think this is a great pick in regards to getting back to reason within the EPA and looking forward with a common sense application of how we actually do things constitutionally by legislation instead of having to deal with all the lawsuits that end up overturning a lot of these rules and regulations that the EPA tried to put forward in this last administration.
Let's talk about a couple of them, because when you look at these statements from green groups like the Sierra Club, Natural Resources Defense Council, and so forth, they generally tend to point to the same couple of things, and they're both rules that you and I have talked about before that a lot of people are concerned about, both economically and otherwise. Number one, they say cleanliness of the water, and that, I would imagine, refers to the waters of the United States rule that you've been talking about a lot. Briefly refresh our listeners as to what that's about.
Well, this is the EPA decided to expand their definition of jurisdiction on waters of the U.S. when, in fact, Greg, there were parts of 5 Supreme Court rulings that told them they couldn't. And I don't get where they see this as being the cleanliness of water. I mean, that's everybody wants clean water, but it also usurps states' rights and local authorities who have authority over surface groundwater and water that's bestowed to the states. So this was an egregious attempt to overtake exactly that process and make sure that businesses were curtailed as well as harmed states' rights and sovereignty. This was an impetus that was actually delayed by the federal courts, and I'm sure that we will prevail if it were to go to the Supreme Court based upon the premise that parts of five Supreme Court rulings have defied them from even going there. That's not part of their power aspect, and what we need to do is reclaim that.
Let's talk about the other one now, and that's clean air and power plants, and that's another rule that's causing a lot of controversy because they're basically looking for carbon emission standards that a lot of people, certainly on the right, believe anyway, that could kill the coal industry and that power plants simply can't meet, and that could obviously have economic repercussions as well. What do folks need to know about that?
Well, here's, you know, we set one standard and we were trying to meet that standard, and the EPA turned around and changed the goalposts on the field, saying that we're going to go even further and picking winners and losers when some of these standards have no basis in science and no basis in regards to application as well, and also Trump state sovereignty in regards to that application. And then also with energy, as you eloquently said, putting one business out of complete business. You know, we need an all the above energy policy. You know, clean coal, gas, all those should be in the same par as with solar, geothermals, and wind. And this administration has chosen to pick winners and losers, and that's been problematic to the cost of energy that goes back to the consumer.
Congressman, what do you know about how difficult or easy potentially it is to roll back some of these rules, whether proposed or already in place?
Well, I mean, some of them, as we've discussed, you know, are in federal court rolling them back you know, like the Clean Power Rule. This was kind of an interesting thing from the Supreme Court saying, listen, you can't even start dealing with the rulemaking process until we deal with this, you know, which was a huge slap on the EPA's hands. You know, some of these can be definitely done within the court system. Some of these can be done within Congress with the power of the purse, saying that no money could be utilized for this process. And then I think some of these can go away by the intent of the EPA administrator by saying, listen, we're not going to go with these until Congress gives us further direction. You know, that's frustrating to the left because it's their way or the highway, and they fail to look at the science. But what ends up happening, rules and regulations have to have germaneness to actual laws that are created by Congress, and those don't come fast. We have to have well-envisioned processes to make sure there's no victims and making sure that it's properly based in science. So I think there's a great way, and I think this shows us that we can all chew gum and walk at the same time and have a civil conversation, because I think everybody wants clean air and clean water. I don't think there's anything about that, and I think that these left-side groups intentionally try to scare people with their rhetoric, which is a defeatist in application.
What are realistic goals within 4 years?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that I had hoped for was that by utilizing the power of the force, we could challenge almost everything that had been putting out regulatorily so that we had a civil discussion to find out what Congress actually intended for these agencies to actually move forward on. I was looking at utilizing a lawsuit, utilizing the Anti-Deficiency Act, which basically says that Congress must pass a law and then fund that law before agencies can actually explicitly implement any type of law. And there's plenty of them on the books, and some of these we've talked about today, but there's plenty more. And I think we need to go through a house cleaning, and I think that Congress can get its job done and have a conversation with the American public and truly show them, you know, what is merited and what is not.
We've heard some experts say, with respect to different parts of the government, Congressman, whether the VA is a common example, that it's so hard to overturn stuff and root out the bureaucracy that prevents progress from being done. From what you know of the EPA, how Herculean of a task is that?
Well, I think it starts with leadership at the top, Greg. You know, if your mindset is to pick winners and losers like this administration had on their quest, then it's very difficult to get those things done. But Congress does the budget every year, and this is where, you know, we've been very, very good in regards to saying no money could be utilized for implementation of the furthering of the waters of the U.S. or the Clean Power Rule. That is a way that we can get that stuff done. And so this is a yearly process where we actually have to do our job to elicit what is expected of the agencies, and then also the oversight that we need to bring them for. I was one of those people that asked for the call for the impeachment, as you said earlier, of Administrator McCarthy. Here's a person that actually defied constitutional requirements by Congress. She misled, she lied in regards to waters of the U.S., and they need to suffer consequences. It is a difficult, arduous task, particularly when the White House was controlled by somebody promulgating these rules. But it looks like Mr. Trump is a little bit different than that. And so time will tell. And I think that if we work together congruently, work effectively, we could actually see a much more adaptive and empowering type of EPA that works with states and local municipalities instead of beating them over a head with a bat.
Last question relates to Congress. You mentioned your effort to impeach Gina McCarthy at EPA. Ultimately, that didn't go very far. Do you believe that Republican leaders have the same commitment to defunding these regulations and doing other things necessary to root out bad policy that we've been talking about?
Well, I mean, they've made promises. I mean, they'll have to look no further than the Obamacare mandate. You know, people are being hurt and impugned by it, and they've made promises to repeal and replace. Now it's time to get it done. And so the onus is on leadership. There have been solutions on the table, and they have stalled them. So from that standpoint, it's also up to me to put them in that position where they either sink or swim if they do what's right or suffer consequences if they don't follow through.
Congressman, we'll certainly be watching. A lot of opportunity here for conservatives on these issues. Thanks very much for your time today.
Always a pleasure, Greg, to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Arizona Republican Congressman Paul Gosar represents his state's 4th Congressional District, member of the House Oversight Committee and the House Natural Resources Committee, and as we mentioned, serves on multiple subcommittees dealing directly with environmental issues. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.